Welcome to the Humanized Podcast, your health personalized. I'm your host, Rebecca Kelly. And today we have a great guest, Dr. Albert Mensa. Our subject is the differences and considerations in COVID-19 vaccinations. Before I introduce Dr. Mensa, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to get all of our variety of casts and audio, video, and transcription at humanizedhealth.com. I'd also like to thank our lead sponsor, Village Green Apothecary, at myvillagegreen.com. Our guest, Dr. Albert Mensa, specializes in treating mental health disorders through biochemical lab testing and individualized targeted nutrient therapy. He is the co-founder of Mensa Medical in Warrenville, Illinois, an integrative health clinic, as well as the Mensa Research Institute, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to conducting, supporting, and presenting research that provides scientific evidence of the efficacy of targeted nutrient therapy. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Mensa.
Thank you for the invitation, Rebecca. Delighted to be here.
I just want to, you know, bring up the fact that people have so many questions about these new vaccines, right? Can you please provide us with an overview of the different vaccines currently available for COVID-19?
Certainly. And I want people to understand something about me personally. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, and I'm not a necessarily mandated pro-vaxxer. I'm an orthomolecular specialist who looks at what is needed and necessary at the time for whatever the purpose is. There's some vaccines I can tell you, really, you don't need at all. I think it's a waste of time and money. There are other vaccines you kind of say, oh, no, you need that. Okay. So I just want to be very clear. I have no stake in any of these vaccines, nor investment or anything. Now, we basically have two types of vaccines that are out. One type is what's called an mRNA vaccine, and that's what you've heard about thus far with the two most prominent ones available in the United States. And then the second group really are what I call real or natural vaccines. What do I mean by that? To be careful and cautious, what we really have to say is that the mRNA vaccines are really genetic engineering. Mm-hmm. These are, they're targeted chemical injections that direct your body to function in a very specific way. And then we've got vaccines that are coming out, like the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine and the Novavax vaccine, that are traditional vaccines. They carry pieces of information that come from a viral particle, a virus, gets injected into your system, and then your body recognizes it as foreign and develops antibodies to it, okay?
Right.
That's different than the mRNA vaccines because those actually direct your system to make a protein that is to be recognized later on as foreign. So there are two different processes going on. I'm not a fan of the first two. I want to be very clear. I don't like mRNA vaccines. Now, having said that, I also have to share with you, again, what we deal with is bio-individual medicine.
Right.
So we have to ask the question, who are you?
Yes.
That determines what you need and what you do.
Yeah.
So right now, because of the huge efficacy, the huge capacity to do the job it needs to do, the mRNA vaccines are out there here, and if you fall into certain categories, you need to get those vaccines.
Right.
So we all know about the frontline workers. We all know about senior citizens.
Right.
You know, if you work in a clinic, if you work in, you know, a nursing home, if you're a nursing home patient, you're within a certain age category, listen, go and get these vaccines done.
Right.
There's simply no question about that.
Right.
But now, what if you're not a tier 1A, B, or C? For example, okay, what if you are now maybe in your 40s or 50s, you have no comorbid conditions, you know, and you're kind of not really exposed to much of anyone, okay?
Right.
Can you afford to wait until the other vaccines come out? You probably could. That is a question you do have to discuss with your doctor or with someone who's, you know, in the health profession, because you as an individual carry a tremendous history. You may have an underlying autoimmune disorder. You may have asthma. You may have rheumatoid arthritis. You may have diabetes or high blood pressure. Those variables change the determination of when you can do what you need to do. In other words, do you need to get a vaccine now, or can you wait till later? Now, if you can wait till later, according to certain criteria, then, you know, our construct is, well, let's look at the more traditional vaccines for you, okay? Look at the, I don't want to talk about brand labels, but let's look at the ones that are just regular vaccines, not mRNA vaccines.
Right. Wow. So if you're going to wait for the more traditional vaccine, and you've determined that that, is there anything that one needs to take into consideration? Is there any, is there any nutrition you need to think about? Is there anything that you need to take, any perspectives related to that, or is it not really relevant?
And actually, in actuality, it's not really quite so relevant. We're living in a very different time here. So one of the reasons why I can sit back and say, look, depending on who you are, you better go get that mRNA vaccine, even though I don't like them, okay? If right now I were working in a heavily populated clinic or hospital, seeing tons and tons of people who have COVID, I would be getting the mRNA vaccine, okay? But sitting in my office and doing more telemedicine right now, or talking to people in general by the telephone, I can say, okay, I'm not necessarily in that category and I can perhaps wait. But once again, if I'm around people who, hey, they've been exposed, my perspective may be a little bit different. But in terms of diet and food and things like that, what we like to say is you should be optimizing your diet during this point of time anyway. And, you know, for those who may not believe me, we've got videos on YouTube at mensamedical.com that talk about diet and COVID, that talk about, you know, utilizing and optimizing your nutrients around you, your vitamin C, your zinc, your vitamin D, and melatonin, by the way. These are things that can really help gird your system very specifically, that can kind of help you protect against inflammation and the oxidative stress that this virus is going to cause, and help your own immune system build its natural immunity, its natural fighting force the way it should. So let's talk about food, for example. All of our favorites pretty much need to go at this point in time. The pizza, the burgers, the fries, the chili dogs, the, you know, all those wonderful things. I hate to put it, East Coast Philly steak sandwiches, you know, with the bread and all. Listen, all that stuff's not good for you. It's inflammatory, okay? Whether it's New York-style pizza or Chicago-style pizza, either way, it's all pizza.
Right.
And we should be minimizing those things. Now, there's some practicalities in life. If we're under confinement, most of what we do is we order out and somebody delivers to us.
That's right.
So in a way, we're kind of stuck. But the other side is that while we say we can order good foods, most of us won't most of the time, but we can take nutrients that can also be delivered to our doorsteps that can help support our immune systems and decrease the inflammation, even with a poor diet.
Right. Wow. That's really interesting. Is there anything else we should know about these vaccines?
Well, they're going to get better, and we don't know what all the side effect potentials are. Let's be real, okay? And that's what it is I do. You know, there's a reason why we say what we say, because we have to exercise caution. And it's only because this is a life or death matter.
Right.
For many people, do we even just say, look, here's a vaccine, we know it works, side effects, you might want to deal with the side effects and still be alive, as opposed to just being dead without the vaccine.
Right.
Okay. That's the bottom line. And there's no physician I know of who, when given that choice, is going to err on the side of ultra caution and say, play the Russian roulette game.
Right.
That's not what we're doing. Okay.
Right.
The other thing, though, is that as we look at now cross-reactivity and cross-protection, some of the traditional vaccines that are coming out actually have better protection against some of the variants of COVID than the mRNA vaccines do, and vice versa, by the way.
Okay.
Whether we're talking about the UK version or the South African version, there's a different vaccine coverage.
Right.
So the traditional vaccines that are coming out, for example, will tend to cover the South African variant better than the mRNA vaccines do, okay? And then there's dosing. So, you know, two shots versus one shot.
Right.
Two shots for the mRNA vaccines and one shot for the ones that are yet to come. That makes a difference as well. Okay. One thing people are very confused about is whether or not they, if they get COVID and they have antibodies, do they need to get yet another vaccine for that?
Right.
Word is still, I know what they're saying, and I'm going to be honest with you, I disagree with quite a bit that some of the folks out there are saying. You know, they're trying to say, let's cover our butts in a way.
Yeah.
Let's make sure by doing everything we can. Here's the problem I have with that. If you've got COVID, if you have antibodies, what a vaccine does is it helps you make antibodies.
Right.
We don't know for sure that we're going to be super stacking antibodies by having a booster by way of a vaccine.
Right.
On top of the antibodies we've got already. But here's the thing. There are always side effects to every vaccine that we have. And because we don't know the full range of them, I'm a little bit more cautious about saying you mandatorily should have a COVID vaccine after you've got antibodies, after you've had COVID.
Okay. Right.
At least within the time frame of 6 months. Because we're pretty sure that your antibodies are going to last you at least 3 to 4 months minimum.
Right.
So maybe at that point in time, reevaluate with your doctor is the way I'll put it.
Yes. Wow. Thanks, Dr. Mensa. Those are really valuable insights. Dr. Mensa can be found at mensamedical.com. That's MENSAHMEDICAL.com. Let me remind you to subscribe and get access to all humanized videos, podcasts, and transcriptions from all of our thought leaders on personalized health at humanizedhealth.com. End of recording. Okay. And then now, if you don't mind doing the takeaways for the COVID-19 vaccinations, that would be great. Start anytime you're comfortable.
Okay. So absolutely, we've got two different forms of vaccines. We've got mRNA vaccines, and we've got more traditional vaccines. The mRNA vaccines are really for people who are the life or death critical kind of folks right away, right now. Frontline workers, senior citizens, people with high travel exposure, those kinds of folks. The vaccines that are coming out now, the more traditional vaccines, these are going to be, for the most part, more single dose vaccines. They are good for people who can wait, I would say. Talk it over with your doctor first, okay? But they offer an alternative that can be beneficial against even some of the other variants of the COVID virus. So it's not about should we have vaccines or should we not have vaccines in this particular case. We're going to need to all be protected at some point in time. Children are a different issue. But for adults, it's going to be a question of now or later, mRNA versus more traditional vaccine. And there are different people who will be in different categories based upon those two dichotomies. But overall, better to be alive than not. That's the main thing. And that's what the vaccines are here to do. That's the commonality between the two.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you. This was an incredible pleasure. Such great information. I would like to ask you just, you know, and all of, I've been seeing a therapist since I was in my 20s, and no one's ever mentioned nutritional therapy. Everyone's always trying to put you on something, right? You do telemedicine. Can I refer people to you, or do they have to come to Illinois? Because I've got a whole slew of people.
No. I'm just like you and I are talking now. Right. I just finished a round of folks using our telehealth. It's called doxy.me. Uh-huh. And we see people from all over the world.
Oh, that's amazing. I am so excited to hear about this because it makes so much, when you explain it, it's like, oh, I don't know why. I feel like such a dum-dum that I think there's so many things nutrition can do for you. Like I just didn't put those things together.
No, and if you've had a lifelong of history of whatever it is, then that means there's usually a chemical imbalance. And it's treatable. That's so treatable.
And I love how you attach it to cards that, you know, cars, like it's just a matter of coming in the shop and getting repaired. It's such a compassionate way of looking at things and really, you know, allowing the conversation to be held. So thank you so much for your compassion and your work. I'm so excited.
It's just the truth. It's just the truth, Rebecca. There's
I love it. Thank you. You're welcome. Hopefully you can.
Yes, you sound like a person who really should wait. Now, what I didn't say is that we have to be concerned about your reproductive health. So, Rebecca, do you have any children?
No. Mm-mm.
Do you plan on having children someday?
That phase is coming on for me. So it's really about reproductive health is what the RMA is about, it sounds like.
Reproductive health is potentially an issue with the mRNA vaccines, okay? Because what we didn't discuss is that there are a series of enzymes that can be acquired by exposure to another virus.
Yes.
Those enzymes are called reverse transcriptases. Mm-hmm. They will take mRNA. So mRNA codes for proteins. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go back to DNA. It goes DNA, mRNA, then proteins. Reverse transcriptases could come in, see an mRNA, and say, let's incorporate that into DNA. Uh-huh. So now it can take that mRNA, turn it into DNA, and if that gets part of cell division in what's called your sex cells, your sperm and your ova, now you're going to affect the viability of future generations. Okay? It doesn't just end with you. That stuff can be passed on to the kids. Now, what happens if in your children, the DNA shows the spike proteins? Their body thinks spike proteins are normal. Mm-hmm. So when they encounter COVID, they're not going to fight against it.
Right.
Okay. That could absolutely be detrimental for them. Okay. So that's why when we talk about waiting for the regular vaccine, those regular vaccines are not mRNA material. They're just particles of viruses, so your body develops an immune response. It's never going to be transferred to your children.
Right.
Okay? Got it. That's the underlying troublesome piece.
And you didn't bring that up because I didn't ask or because it's something that you're a little sensitive to right now?
I didn't bring it up because it would generate a tremendous amount of negative press.
Gotcha. Okay.
That we have to be very cautious about. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did I answer your question though? Yeah. And that's the whole point. This is something they don't talk about a lot. This has never been done before.
Yeah.
There have been no genetic engineering viruses given to a mass population before. And it is Russian roulette, it is dangerous. And you two are young people. And I think you guys, you tell all your friends, do not get the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. Wait till the other ones come out and get them. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless it's an emergency.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.